Hi, and welcome to TSN, the Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge with Bruce Arthur, Dave Naylor, and Steve Simmons. The return of Rudy Gay to Toronto reminded us of the trade made when Rudy Gay was sent to the Sacramento Kings, and Masai Ujiri, the Raptors' general manager, has been receiving plaudits ever since. It might be the best trade made in recent years by a Toronto general manager, or maybe not, because there are some other examples. But first, general question, how good was that deal, Steve?
Well, at the time, the good part about it was you were getting rid of Rudy Gay and his contract. So it looked to be the beginning of a tank job on the part of the Raptors. They were going to trade him. They were going to trade some other people. They were going to strip the roster. Well, what happened? They started winning, and now it looks like the greatest trade ever.
Yeah, it's kind of an accident. They had another trade lined up. They were going to move Kyle Lowry to the New York Knicks. And had James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, not decided at a late date to gain religion over first-round picks and not trading them away, Kyle Lowry, who's been their best player this season, I think, would have been in New York and none of this would have happened. But they managed to accidentally discover chemistry, accidentally discover a team. And in Raptors history, I mean, the Raptors history is littered with some of the worst trades in Toronto history. This, strangely enough, ranks among the very best.
There are two types of trades in sports. There are types where you want to acquire pieces to make your team better, and there are those when you just want to get rid of a problem. Either a player doesn't fit your team or the economics of his contract don't fit your team. In the case of the Raptors and Rudy Gay, it was both. You don't often see trades where both of those elements are contained in one trade, and that's what makes the trade with Rudy Gay stand out above the others, is you've got both of those elements that are usually contained in just one trade in both.
Well, Gay comes back and finds the Raptors in third place in the Eastern Conference, which we could not have foreseen, and he also plays a game in which he scores 15 points against the Raptors and finds Patrick Patterson, one of the players who came the other way, scoring 15 points as well. It was a great trade for Masai Ujiri. Now, to be the best trade, it would have to top, I guess, the Ricky Ray trade, because that led directly to a championship for a Toronto team. Or did Jim Barker just accept a gift and not make a trade? I mean, where do we rank that?
Well, you would think a gift based on the whole, you know, David Braley owns two teams and the 100th Grey Cup in Toronto and all the stuff that goes on with that. But I've talked enough to Eric Tillman about this deal to know this was a trade. He was getting rid of Ricky Ray. He was getting back some players. He was getting back cap space more than anything else to be able to sign other players. And at the time, and for a few months after, he believed it was the right thing to do. It's about the worst trade in CFL history.
Well, and despite the perception that, you know, Eric Tillman speed dialed the Toronto Argonauts because he knew they had the 100th Grey Cup and said, hey, you're going to need a quarterback, there were conversations at the end of the previous season where he came that close to dealing Ricky Ray to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So he was out there. It was not like there was just this one conversation with this one team about moving Ricky Ray.
A big part of trading is spotting the sucker at the table. And in this case, the sucker at the table was in Edmonton. And Eric Tillman had fallen in love with Stephen Giles for some reason. And in the CFL, a league where you're defined by your quarterback as much as anything else, moved a franchise quarterback who was still not out of his prime.
Well, but he had done it once before.
That's the thing.
And he thought he was so smart in doing it once before when he did it in Saskatchewan after they won the Grey Cup. And he said to himself, I did it once. I'm going to do it again.
Tillman's whole history is, you know, he would be the guy who sells into buy rallies, the guy who buys when the stock market is plenty. He loves being the sort of counterintuitive general manager. But on this one, I think he went too far.
Now, the Blue Jays' last two general managers, even though the team on the field hasn't done much, have made terrific trades. The acquisition of Jose Bautista for a little-known catcher named Robinson Diaz looks awfully good on J.P. Ricciardi. And Alex Anthopoulos was, contrary to popular belief, able to shed the contract of Vernon Wells. And no matter what they got back, they get Mike Napoli for a day and Juan Rivera for a few games that didn't matter because he didn't want to be here. Both of those trades look almost as good as the other ones we're talking about.
Well, the Jose Bautista one, in terms of the player you get back, is obviously better. But that was more panning for gold. There are a million trades like that every year, especially in baseball, where we have a guy we don't really believe in, you have a guy you don't really believe in. Jose Bautista, at that point, was not no one saw that he was going to be the guy that he became because they were ready to let him go after some time in Toronto. But I still think, for degree of difficulty, the Vernon Wells trade is still the one for me. Because Alex Anthopoulos moved $97 million worth of Vernon Wells. Think about that for a second. There was one team that was willing to take him. And again, he got lucky. The Anaheim Angels were only available because a guy they were looking at fell through. But that, to me, was a deal that they haven't really reaped benefits of it in terms of concrete on-field achievement, but that was a hard deal to make.
You know, it's the old saying that you can't judge a trade the day after it's made. If you went back and looked at the clippings the day after the Jose Bautista trade, I'm thinking there wasn't great headlines saying that this was a fantastic deal. And yet, you look at the deal that he made last year with the Florida Marlins, the one that was supposed to herald a championship. You know, take picture which deal you'd do over again.
It's interesting because J.P. Ricciardi really had no interest in acquiring Jose Bautista at all. It was a couple of members of the front office who decided that this guy was a diamond in the rough and needed another chance. And they did some statistical breakdown that told them that he was better than the sum of his parts. And Alex Anthopoulos was one of those people who convinced Ricciardi at the time that he needed this guy. And so they made the trade. And, you know, this turns out to be one of the premier players in baseball.
Now, there are hockey trades we can talk about. The Phil Kessel trade continues to be debated, will be debated forever, perhaps. Looks better on Brian Burke now, looks better than it ever has, but still there are people who said it shouldn't have been done. James Van Riemsdyk for Luke Shen looks awfully good on Brian Burke as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's Dave Nonis's entry into these sweepstakes. The acquisition of goaltender Jonathan Bernier has to be considered a very good move.
I mean, to get a number one goalie who is probably top 10 in the NHL, I would say somewhere.
Maybe better than that.
Somewhere around top 10 in the NHL. And to not give up a player of consequence. I mean, people might call Ben Scrivens a player of consequence. I'm not sure he is. Matt Fratton's already been moved. The Kings got some money, but he got a guy that might be his goalie for the next 10 years at a very low price.
See, I have a higher opinion of Ben Scrivens maybe than you do, just because he went to Edmonton and hasn't fallen apart. I mean, you can put up great numbers behind the LA system, but Edmonton, he's actually, yeah, I think he's a good goalie. He's not Jonathan Bernier, though. He's not a guy who I think you entrust your franchise to for 10 years, and that's what Dave Nonis got. I still think that being able to sell Luke Shen for anything was remarkable. Being able to get back a premier winger in the league.
But he wasn't a premier winger when they made the deal.
Well, but the point is, it was two guys who were at the same stages of their career, and he was betting that our struggling young talent will be not as good as the one he achieved. And that deal really works out in the least favor, because they're two guys who are at the same points of their career. And he bet on the right one.
What's the rule of thumb in hockey? Never trade a young defenseman.
Well,
he traded a young defenseman, and he made the right move on that one because he got in an all-star winger.
I'll tell you, if you put a line down the middle of the page for Brian Burke's time in Toronto and write his trades on one side and his free agent signings in the other, it's pretty clear what aspect of the game he was more successful at as general manager in Toronto. He made a lot of good trades, not so many good free agent signings.
Always fun to look back on trades. If they kept standings on trades, Toronto teams would be doing a lot better than otherwise. That's it for TSN, the Reporters podcast. Till next time, thanks for being with us.